you look at Jeremiah chapter 36, starting in verse 20, we have the famous story of Jehudi and his infamous penknife. Now, this story has gone around Bible-believing circles for 30 years that I know of. Of course, it's been in the Bible much longer than that, but it is a passage used with an agenda. Verse 20, they went in unto the king and to the court and laid up the roll of the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. They've got the roll of a book. They've got God's word. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month. There was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that as Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So the king doesn't like what he's hearing. And Jehudi slices it off and tosses it into the fire. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemar, can't say it, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Amalek, and Seraiah, the son of Aziel, and Shemaliah, the son of Abdeel, and Elvis, the son of... unusual names. To take Barak, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, verse 27, after that the king had burned the roll. So, if those were the originals, and Jehudi sliced them up with a penknife and threw them in the fire, so much for the originals. God reinstitutes,
yes.
Verse 28, take again another roll. So, this being enamored with the originals is something apparently that Jehovah God is not. Perhaps the best example is when Moses comes down with the two tablets and sees everybody running around naked and drunken, and he breaks the tablets. So then there is the second set of tablets given. And that another example of God's not disparaging, but not requiring the presence of the original manuscripts. I'm going to say one of the things in which I have not invested my faith, one of the things in which I'd say then I don't believe, would be in trusting the originals. The originals obviously existed. Books were written down. I don't look to them as anything. Firstly, they don't exist. So how can I look to them as anything? If we create this authority that no one can ever encounter, that no one can ever study, we create this authority that's floating around in the ether somewhere. And as A.T. Robertson said, that it was our job to recreate this authority. Whatever that turns out to be, then, would be something we authored.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we'd be the author of the final authority. I choose not to believe in that. So very often, we hear it said, well, in the original. Now, that means, of course, the original manuscripts. But when you hold those people that say that and hold their feet to the fire, then they'll back away because they know the truth of it. There are no original manuscripts.
Amen.
When the Southern Baptist Convention and Broadman Holman Publishing Company was offering its new, radical, wonderful translation, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and they had little snippets of it on the internet. One of the things that they said was that it was true to the original. So they had to contact us. I did. And said, when was the discovery made? You say it's true to the original when there is no original. Then they did what these folks invariably do. Well, we meant the original languages. They know there are no original manuscripts. The typical Christian doesn't know that. They think that they're in a museum somewhere, or the Pope's got them, or they're in a museum in England, or something. The idea that there are manuscripts that, oh, Paul wrote that. No such documents exist. So that seems to me a very spurious source for final authority. I don't doubt God's inspiration. I don't doubt that they were there, but I don't believe in them today because I have nothing to believe in. There is no way to presently possess them.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to move into even more dangerous ground and say, not only am I not trusting the original manuscripts, never having seen them, and no one in the last 20 centuries has, not only am I not trusting them, I'm not trusting the original languages either. Whoa, now you've gone too far. You need to trust the Greek and the Hebrew. 9 out of 10 don't know the Bible was written in 3 languages. They say Hebrew and Greek, but there was also the Aramaic, the Chaldean. So, ignorance is that the position ignorant people take is not going to determine the parameters of my belief system. And when people point to the originals, and as Pastor Stamm was notably quoted as saying that no translation can be perfect, they've taken some strange ground. Firstly, there are no Greek or Hebrew manuscript schools or evidences that agree one with the other. Secondly, no Greek or Hebrew Old or New Testament matches in English any English translation. There's no tit for tat, there just isn't. So I choose to believe what I've got rather than what I don't got. I don't trust the originals. Oh, now I have deviated from 90% of the King James guys who say, oh, the King James is the best. But really, their trust and faith is something that is called the Textus Receptus.
Yes.
And I have in front of me, printed by the Trinitarian Bible Society, a Stephanus Textus Receptus. If it weren't for the numbers at the top of the page, you might not know whether you were holding it right side up or upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to have a Bible in my language, but what I'm trying to get at now is that the debate and argument over the Bible issue has been settled along the lines of the 2 manuscript evidence streams, the 96% of the majority text, the critical text, the majority text, and the critical text comprises the 4%. That comes through Roman Catholicism and such people as Adamantius Origen. The debate, then, when Wilbur Pickering wrote his groundbreaking book back in the 50s about the identity of the New Testament text and making the point that the New Testament text should be identified according to the majority text, the Textus Receptus being representative of it. The debate then fell into that category where it was the critical text of Everhard Nessel of Allen and Metzger, and this is Netzel's 23rd text here, which is what you get when you go to seminary. They sell you one of these puppies. And or the Textus Receptus. So that's what the debate is. That means, then, that you've got thousands of pastors standing and thousands of teachers standing in pulpits teaching from the Netzel text. They'll teach you in English, but they believe their final authority is the majority text, the minority text, the critical text. On the other side of the coin, you've got a smaller number, but actually more effective because they tend more to be Bible believers, of people who are preaching and teaching from a King James Bible, and they'll point to the Textus Receptus and say that's a better stream of manuscripts, it has more fidelity, and that the King James Bible is based upon it. I'm about to say, make the heretical statement, that my authority, I do not trust the Textus Receptus. My belief system does not rest on the Textus Receptus, and I'll defend it as being the correct text in the Greek language. But I've got problems. And people who are King James, but not really, and are really Textus Receptus people, have got problems. And I'm going to unearth a couple of those for you just now. Firstly, when you say that King James is true to the Textus Receptus, and that you are a King James guy, but really a Textus Receptus person, because no Bible in English can be right, it has to be the original languages. You see, again, we've created this amorphous, this mystical authority. Where is it? How do I get hold of that? We'll learn the Greek. Well, in the Textus Receptus, would it be the Textus Receptus of 1516? As drawn up by Erasmus? Or would it be the Textus Receptus of Robertus Stephanus of 1550, which is most people's favorite, but shortly after the King James Bible is produced in 1611, Elzevar produces a Textus Receptus in 1624, which is thought to be a distillation between the previous TRs and taking the King James Bible into account, but Theodore Beza produces a Textus Receptus in 1840, which is even more loosened by what has gone before. Now we've got four of them out there, but wait. Scrivener, F.H.A. Frevenary Scrivener, in 1894, put together what is said to be the quintessential Textus Receptus, and that it takes into account some of the difficult issues that were not accounted for previously. So along comes J. Green with his interlinear of the Greek English, and he's got a literal translation running down one side of the page, the King James Bible running down the other side of the page, and then the interlinear, one line over the other, of the Greek. He uses Scrivener's, because Scrivener takes into consideration some of the textual issues that had been created as a problem by Erasmus back here in 1516, such as 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, coming from the Computusian text. So, Erasmus ostensibly adds 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and Scrivener says it doesn't belong, but you know what he does? He includes it because he's afraid not to.
Yes.
There'd be such. So you got you got a murky mess here when it comes to the Textus Receptus. Well, Brother McLean, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. We stick with the King James Bible because it's true to the Textus Receptus text type. And it has more fidelity than the critical text type. And we evidence that to our people in our congregations by showing them the differences between the Textus Receptus text type and the King James Bible as opposed to the New American Standard and all of that kind of stuff. All right, bright eyes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You stood in front of your congregations and said, only the King James Bible tells you to study. None of the other translations tell you to study, to show thyself approved unto God. They say to present yourself or to be diligent. Guess what, bright eyes? The Textus Receptus doesn't say study either. None of them. Take your pick of the five. None of them. Only the King James Bible says study. I believe that. My final authority is my King James Bible. Now, when I say that, I don't have my fingers crossed in my pocket because I really mean Textus Receptus, and I won't tell you which one. You see what I'm saying to you? So, now, suddenly, what this position of not believing in the originals, what that does is it spits on all these guys that worship the Greek.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't say that. That's terrible. Actually, I know there is Greek back there. I have no doubt that God inspired the original writings. God must not have thought much of them because he didn't do anything with them. You could never have gone back to Peter, James, John, Paul and found this book. That never existed. There was never a compilation. There was never a compilation of the Old Testament.
Right.
Didn't happen. Well, the King James is the best, brother. We hold to that. Meaning, it's the best, except where it messes up sometimes. That's Pastor Stan's position, and there's lots of time where he needs to fix it for us because it's broke. But it is true to the Textus Receptus. Really? The King James translators didn't think so.
No.
The King James translators in the front said, the Holy Bible translated out of the original tongues and with the former translations. One of those was German. One of those was French.
Yes.
Diligently compared. One of those was Latin. Diligently compared and revised. The frontispiece of the King James Bible, Bancroft's rules that he gave to the King James translators did not say the Holy Bible translated out of the Textus Receptus and only this one. Well, brother, we think the King James Bible is better because it's the only one that warns against science, falsely so called. All the new translations speak about knowledge, but not against science, falsely so called. Guess what? The Textus Receptus does not have the word science in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 either. Your King James Bible, which these TR guys defend because of having science in 6:20 of 1 Timothy, their TR that they worship doesn't have the word. I believe God has preserved his words exactly as he wants us to have them in our language, in our King James Bible. That's been my position for so long, I can't remember when it wasn't. That position says what I've got in English is better than going through an amalgam of five textus recepti. Is that how it worked, like hippopotami? Five textus recepti and saying, well, I'll pick one here and pick one there. The difference between the guy who stands in the pulpit having gone to some mainstream theological seminary and he's got his revised standard and he says, well, it ought to say this here and it ought to say that there. The difference between him and the fundamental Baptist who stands in his pulpit and says, well, the King James Bible says this and in the Textus Receptus it's that. There's no difference. It's interesting that in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2 and verse 17, there is a warning, and the warning is against those who are corrupting the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, the warning against Bible corruptors. It has been said from King James pulpits all over America, well, see, the new translations, they talk about selling the Word of God, peddling the Word of God, trafficking the Word of God, rather than corrupting it. And so our Textus Receptus-based Bible is better than theirs because ours says, no, your Textus Receptus doesn't say corrupting. The literal of the verse would be hawking, as you would in the shambles, in an open bazaar area where people are on the street shouting at one another, hawking the Word of God. The position of being a Bible believer is so seldom taken that I thought it would be a good thing to try to call attention to it by saying, I don't believe in the originals, whether it be the manuscripts or the languages.
Amen.
It's not a matter that I don't believe that they exist, but I don't believe they're my final authority. I don't believe they have much to add, quite frankly. So, rarely is it helpful to see that a word in the English language gains nuance by looking at the Greek language.
Yes.
A lot of fellows make a career out of, well, in the original it says this and that, and they go to Vine's expository dictionary to turn the phrase as if they knew what they were talking about. Rather, I would choose, by God's grace and by taking the word in English for what it says, that I'm to study to show myself approved unto God, and I've got a book that I study. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by words that I can access, and I don't need a new language to get them. People warn against money being the root of all evil. And of course, the new Bible says money is a root or a root of all sorts. People have stood in pulpits saying, see what the King James Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. But the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible, according to them, does not say that. It does not, it says a root. So, once again, over and again, I've given you now 5 examples of verses that people use to defend the King James Bible, and they're Textus Receptus people, and they don't know that they're cutting their own throats. See what I'm saying to you? The position they take in defense of the King James Bible is based on the Textus Receptus, and they are so behind the loop. They are so intellectually bereft that they are defending the King James Bible because they're Textus Receptus guys, but they're using verses from the King James Bible which the Textus Receptus does not validate. spooks, you end up with, can I believe anything? Or, why can't I believe what I got? That's where I am. I can't believe what I got. The God of the universe, who keeps all the Higgs bosons in place, who keeps all the M quark strings in place, the God of the universe, who spoke the stars into existence, didn't fret for 2 seconds over the originals when Moses threw them on the ground and they cracked into pieces.
Amen.
Didn't fret for a second at Yehudi's penknife. He preserved the information. By the way, if you spend the time in Jeremiah chapter 36, you'll see the second roll doesn't read exactly the same as the first roll read. Ponder that one for a while. When God rewrites in Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 28 and on, take another roll, and God inspires another roll to replace the first roll, doesn't say exactly the same. Wow, can we have that? Note, if you would please, in Galatians, in chapter 1, in verse 14, we have in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 14, the Apostle Paul speaking of his position with respect to his countrymen. And of course, Galatians is all about the Judaizers. And in Galatians in chapter 1, in verse 14, profited in the Jews' religion many above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. That verse, in the Textus Receptus, that verse, in the NIV, the New American Standard, the Living, and the critical text-based translations, reads as follows. And I progressed in Judaism beyond my contemporaries in my race. Race is not an issue with the God of the Bible. People struggle with it. Maybe you've noticed. But God doesn't. God doesn't waste 2 verses on it. God doesn't waste 1 verse on it. This verse. How can you say Judaism, how can you say his countrymen and his nation constitute a race? Could not any Gentile get circumcised and join that nation?
Amen.
Would he be of the same race? See, we put in an element here that is totally extraneous, that leads us in a wrong direction and takes us to a wrong conclusion. The Textus Receptus is not as good as my King James English.
Amen.
Have a nice day. I have one more for you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, I'm told where to set my affection on things above. The Textus Receptus says, mind the things above. Mind the things above? Well, that's maybe thinking about them or paying attention to them, but setting your affection is much more intense. I believe my King James Bible is superior. Now, I've already demonstrated to you on previous occasions and in textual criticism classes in the Dispensational Bible Institute how that there are verses in your King James Bible which are superior to any original manuscript text ever found. The best example is perhaps when Elhanan kills Goliath. The King James translators in 2 Samuel 21:19 supplied the words, the brother of Goliath. They're in italics, supplied by the translators. no Hebrew text ever found reads as the King James Bible. The King James translators knew that they would kill Goliath. So, when the New American Standard says it is the most accurate translation of the text, on that verse, they would be saying a right, truthful thing. But it's not good Bible. It's not an accurate Bible. It's an accurate translation of what you've got. God did not shepherd and protect the originals. Didn't happen in any setting. Why? When you see the word scripture show up in your Bible, the first time the word scriptures, plural, shows up in your Bible is Daniel 10. The idea that we've got the originals in a temple somewhere never crossed anybody's mind. And we've already talked some months back about how God preserved His Word and how it would go from a priest to a king and they'd keep it, and how copies were made. I'm a Bible believer and I've got the Bible I believe.
Yes.
So, with my tongue placed squarely in my cheek, I don't believe in the originals. Not the original manuscripts, not the original languages, either one. I am a King James Bible believer. Don't call me a fundamentalist, because the fundamentalists, they always track off and become evangelicals. And then the evangelicals track off and they become neo-evangelicals. And the neos track off and they become the next liberals. And the liberals, they become the next infidels. And everything leans to the left and is falling in that direction. Rather than being in that position, I choose to stand on God's Word as I've got it in my language, mm-hmm. without error,
yeah.
my final authority, my King James Bible. I'm a Bible believer. Literally, I have a book. It's right here in front of me. I've got one over here, one over there, two in there. I believe this book. It's the Word of God. It's the words of God. It's my final authority, not in just faith and practice, but in all things. It's when I've got questions, I go to it and study to show myself approved unto God, to become that workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When I don't understand it, it's right and I'm wrong.
Amen.
When I struggle with a verse, it's just I'm not up to it. It's not something I need to retranslate and to fix. One of the best statements ever made about the Bible, or any book of authority, or any statement of authority, was made by Humpty Dumpty. He said in Alice in Wonderland, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean. Not more nor less." Well, can I take a verse and make it what I mean it to mean? And if I don't like it, well, then we'll go to the Textus Receptus. And I don't like that one, I'll go with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You realize you could have a humongous schism between Textus Receptus people over 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, as to whether or not included.
Yeah.
Among Textus Receptus people, you could have that argument.
Yes.
You got no argument with me. It belongs in my Bible. So, as a Bible believer, I've got a Bible I believe. God regards His Word even above His name. We know that from Psalm 138 in verse 2. He regards His name above anything humanity ever did. God's Word then stands in a very high and exalted position according to God Himself. He requires me to utilize it so that fact requires that it be available. Inspiration is useless without preservation.
Yes.
Preservation requires God's instrumentation, and for His reason, He chose not to use the originals. If the originals were discovered, and suddenly you had an opportunity to read a page of the originals, people would fall all over themselves. Here's something we never had before. Do you see the mystical attachment, the magical mystery tour people are on, chasing after a final authority that doesn't exist? And they would pay big money to go to the Dome of the Rock or the Dome of the Book and go to the Pope's library and have some cardinal or Blue Jay or other Tweety Bird hand them a page of the real originals. What's that tell you? That tells you they have a mystical faith in something that doesn't exist, and if a shard of it, if a piece of it showed up, they would run to it and leave their Bibles at the house.
Yes, they would. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Speaks to infidelity. So there is this love for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. Oh, they've been translated. I can hardly wait to see what's in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That can't be right. That can't be right. There's nothing worth reading in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's correct.
That's right. The plate of Terramiah Buddhas? Well, we know that this book of God's is indestructible, although we've never seen a copy. And so we're going to turn the world upside down to find those original manuscripts. And until we find those original manuscripts, we are going to endeavor to recreate them for contemporary society. That had been the marching orders. I can't find the picture I was looking for, and I didn't mark it. That had been the marching orders for people for centuries trying to recreate God's Word, may I respectfully say, out of pretty near nothing.
Yes.
Because their final authority is something that doesn't exist. Now, when the Authorized version was published, it says in the front, the Holy Bible, containing the Old Testament and the New, newly translated out of the original tongues, and with former translations diligently compared and revised by His Majesty's special command, appointed to be read in churches. It doesn't say, we sat down with a copy of Elzevar and put it. It doesn't say we sat down with Stephanus. It doesn't say that.
No.
Martin Luther's Bible in German was influential in the translation of the King James Bible. Got to start the Protestant Reformation. Wrote a New Testament translation. You would pay attention to that, would you not?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the Heilige Geschrift, the Holy Scriptures of Martin Luther in the English language, is part of that textual stream that leads to the Textus Receptus. And when we identify the New Testament text, it's going to be Greek every time. To which I say, actually, you folks are fibbing. Because you hold up a King James English and say it's better than the other ones, and you do it based on verses that don't read as the Textus Receptus would have. The King James Bible in the English language is my final authority.
Amen.
I'm saying, if you gave me the original Greek, I'd still read my King James Bible.
Yes.
Two reasons. One, it's in English.
Yes.
Duh. And the other one, this book's been available for 400 years when the originals were not. I've got Jehovah in the fire to tell me when God rewrote what was in the burnt scroll, it differed.
Yes.
I'm going to take what I've got. I've got the last word. So many times, the King James Bible has things to offer you won't get any other way. I've talked to you many times about the and thou, and EST meaning second person singular, and ETH meaning third person. There's so many little nitnoids that are helpful. I don't need to Greek what I've got. I'm not looking for other authorities.
Amen.
When I check out, whether it be the critical text or the majority text, it's to validate. It's maybe to help with an explanation, but it's never to correct it. People believe that you cannot understand the Bible without reading Greek. Have you ever noticed that people who believe that teach the Bible in English? Is there a problem there? Am I missing something? People have been schooled that no translation is trustworthy. Nothing could be right. And yet they'll ask you to bet your soul on it.
Yeah.
Not to mention 10% of your income.
Yes.
God uses translations. God, in Exodus chapter 5, you've got Moses and Aaron went in and talked to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast. When you've got Exodus chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, what language would be spoken to Pharaoh? Egyptian? Moses wrote it in Hebrew. What's the big deal? Acts chapter 21 and verse 40. When he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand of the people. And he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Acts chapter 21 verse 40. Saying, what he says in verse 41, he said in Hebrew. Luke wrote it in Greek. God's not hung up on the originals. He's not hung up on the original languages. Acts chapter 21 verse 40 is not written, verse 41 is not written by Luke in Hebrew. Although Paul says he's speaking Hebrew. I'm not a believer in what the originals, whether it be manuscripts or languages, have to give me. Because really, they don't have anything to give me. I've got a final authority in my King James Bible. I reasoned that it's the right translation in the English language. When David Otis Fuller asked the question, which Bible? It's not hard to come to the conclusion that it's my authorized King James Bible.
Amen.
I say that knowing full well that 99 out of the next 100 King James people that you meet will actually be Textus Receptus people. And if a page of Paul's actual writings in his own hands showed up, they would take that over what they've got. I wouldn't. stop there.